Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And on today's show, we have back the lovely Birgit Buchart. How are you, Birgit?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm great.
So we had you on last time, and I know we chatted a lot about lumography, but we wanted to kind of hear your story this time around. So do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving them a background on who you are and how you got into photography and all that stuff?
Yeah, of course. My name is Birgit Buchart. I'm currently the general manager for Lomography USA. I'm based in Brooklyn, New York, working out of our New York office for Lomo. And I'm originally from Austria. Grew up in a tiny little town, village in the Alps. Close to Salzburg. So if you, as Americans, you've probably seen Sound of Music. That's kind of the
area. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. First how I got into photography, because that was earlier. I guess it started with my dad, who had some film cameras at home and like an old SLR. And he just like showed it to me and my sister and introduced us a little bit. And we both really liked it. My sister, even more so, she like straight up jumped into photography there. And maybe because I was the younger one and like wanted, you know, to be just as cool, I didn't
say
that. Yeah.
But it was also just like the first thing, I forget how old I was, maybe 10 or so. It was also the first thing that I really like, this like hobby that I shared with my dad and that we could like, you know, bond over. And like, he got really excited and about the gear side of things. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I can pretend I'm an artist and stuff. and he got me my first SLR camera off eBay because my sister took his, and then he got me one. And I started taking some photos and I really enjoyed it. But it was, you know, it was just fun. And then I went to school and like switched some schools at some point and reached, when I was like 17, started a new school where I could pick a major already in high school, kind of. And it was graphic design and photography.
Oh, wow.
Really, because it was like kind of the only creative major that you could pick. Everything else was like cooking or, or I don't know, economics and stuff. And so I did that and really enjoyed that creative part of it. Really enjoyed photography, but it was all digital at that time for me. And then what I 2 years in, what I noticed for me was that it was very overwhelming with all the options that you have with Photoshop. The more I learned Photoshop, the more started not liking it. And I felt like, well, there's so much you can do. I'm never happy with an edit. Like, I always feel like I could do more. I could make this better. And also the competition and in school and, you know, like seeing how other people edited. And there's just so many options. And that I like kind of lost the fun in it a little bit. And it was when I was like kind of telling myself, okay, like I enjoy taking photos, but I don't think I want to make this my job. I kind of like lost the fun in it a little bit and decided to not go the professional route with photography and instead did more of creative writing and focused on that. So after high school, I went to university in Munich in Germany and studied English literature.
Wow.
And wanted to, you know, like just, because it's all free in Europe, I was
the dream.
I was like, I don't even know what to do with this, but I want to study what I'm interested in and then I'll figure it out. So I'll just do this right now. And, you know, like for me, kind of hoping that studying literature would help me, you know, improve my own writing. And I knew I always liked English as a language and always had in the back of my head a little bit the dream of leaving Austria and maybe living in an English-speaking country. So I was like, okay, well, that, you know, can't hurt to do all that in English. Mm. And that's then after my, also, okay, part of my university degree, in order to get the bachelor's degree in English, you needed to spend some time in an English-speaking country, which is when I first came to New York. So it was for college credits that I spent 3 months in New York doing nothing other than just exploring and, you know, talking to creatives here. And I really fell in love with this whole mindset of, you know, artists and people, young people here who are, you know, all have like some kind of day job, but all are really passionate about their art and their work. And they put a lot of energy into these side projects. And I didn't know that from back home. Everybody was always only focused on their like main career.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then I graduated, got my bachelor's, and then it was all luck from there. It all kind of came together at LOMO. Mm. After, you know, moving away from Munich, I decided to go to Vienna, our capital city in Austria, just because I loved it, and looked for a job and wanted to get, you know, like a full-time position. But I saw LOMO looking for an intern for their magazine to write for their magazine. And I was like, okay, this is not really what I was looking for. I wanted like a proper job, but this is writing. This is a lot of English German translations. This is all the writing about photography, which I like. So it all felt like, okay, this is kind of like a really perfect position for me where all these things come together. So I, you know, took the risk and was like, okay, I'm going to take this internship for 3 months and see how it goes, and started writing for them there. And then one day my coworker there told me that they're having a position opening up in their New York office. And she knew that I had been to New York and that I missed it and everything. And I was like, well, but I'm just an intern. Do you think, you know, is that even possible? And she's like, yeah, like I'll recommend you send in your application. Let's see and let's try. And then I did that and I didn't hear back for quite a while. I think for like 2 months, I didn't, you know, get any, like, didn't know if I was even being considered. And then all of a sudden our boss in Vienna, who I think at that point I had spoken like maybe two words with, he came into the office and was like, oh, Birgit, do you have a second for a meeting? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And like, I got really nervous. I was like, I probably fucked up or something.
I'm fired.
The worst. So I was going into this meeting with this really horrible feeling, and it ended up being like the best moment in my life he literally is sitting there and was like, okay, so we looked into everything and I think we can figure out the visa situation. Would you be like down to move in a month? And I'm like, wait, And so, yeah, it was like this crazy surprise to me at that point. And it was right before Christmas. So I think I negotiated a little bit more time to like prepare my family for my whole move and everything. But then, yeah, and with that, I took over the marketing management position in the New York office. And, you know, like that's the cool thing about LOMO. I didn't really have a marketing background. Mm-hmm. I had some studies in high school and college, but it really... if you're right for this company, if you're passionate about, you know, film photography, and if you, they see that you do the work, but also just like get really excited about it, then they'll trust you with it. And they'll be like, we'll teach you everything you need to know. But the most important thing is that you, you know, like doing this.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. So cool.
So I was incredibly lucky, and the timing was just, it just worked out. And I am forever grateful for LOMO for this opportunity. I dreamed of living in New York my whole life, and the fact that this company made it possible for me and is giving me this amazing job.
I love that Lumography. You know, so many, I mean, we had Taylor from Moment on, and they were kind of the same thing. Like, as long as you're passionate for photography and filmmaking, like, we can teach you the filmmaking aspect of it. Like, it's just so important, especially like as creatives, you know, we can't go to school for all of it. You know, it's like we're artsy. Doesn't mean we're, you know, we have all these other skills. You know, some people do. I'm not one of them, but I just think that's wonderful. And I think that more companies need to like really think about that when they are hiring, you know?
Yeah, And it seems to me too, it works out. Like, I don't have any, you know, sales or marketing experience mm-hmm. per se, but even the best, you know, no matter how well trained you are in those things, if you simply don't, you know, really give a shit about analog photography, how are you even able to sell that stuff?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And everything else, like how, you know, Instagram works and all that stuff for mm-hmm. online marketing, that's something you can pretty quickly just yeah. Google yourself.
right. Or figure out strategies.
Right.
So when did you switch back from digital to film? Was it around the time that you found the job with Lumography, or was it
Yeah, I think
that?
So. I mean, I've had some old cameras, film cameras that I like from time to time would take out and shoot for fun. But I think when I started with Lumography, I fully yeah. committed to this and went right in. Like, obviously I wanted to, you know, try all the Lumography products. I wanted to, and just like with being in this community, talking to all these photographers that we work with, I just got really excited about it and started fully shooting film like regularly. And then I also understood why I like it, or I prefer it so much. Yeah. I really like this whole job really like pointed out to me, this is the way to shoot film without putting the pressure on you, without, you know, it's just be creative, experiment and appreciate whatever comes out and don't, you know, try to find perfection. And yeah.
I think I told the story the last time you were on. I remember specifically when I found Lumography and just the website, just everything. I was like, wait, what is this? This is what I'm talking about. Just like, it's more like the artsy side of it versus the professional photographer side, you know? And you guys are doing a great job, you know, highlighting people that might not get a chance. We've made friends through Lumography, you know.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, we have. I was going to say this. We really do have, you know, a lot to say thank you to you for, Birgit. Jeff Bridges hooking that up, and also my engagement story. My fiance reached out to you to set up like a mock photo shoot.
So I love that.
Yeah. And so it was the day, you know, a couple days before Christmas or maybe a week. And you're like, we're doing this campaign. And I love Lumography. So I'm like, any way I could help you guys out? I'm so honored. Right. I'd love to. So, but he was like, don't you have that Lumography thing you have to do? And I was like, yeah, why? Yeah. Like,
how do
like,
you know that?
Or just why are you so worried about it? It was more of the thing, you know? So it was like the last day before I had to get on a plane to go home for Christmas. He's like, well, let's go. We'll go to the park so you can do your Lumography shoot. I'm like, okay. Like, and then, you know, at the last photo, he got down on one knee. And then I was like, well, aww. I was like, I was like, that's so funny that like you had the opportunity to do that because of Lumography. And he was like, no, I set that up. I talked to Birgit. She's in on it. I was like, no way. It was just like, it was also a wonderful thing to like, I mean, he's a great guy, but the fact that he made it about photography as well was just wonderful. But thank you for
when
that.
He reached out to me, it was both the most, I was just like, oh my God, how awesome is he for doing that and for emailing me? We've never spoken before. And at the same time, I got so nervous. I was like, if I mess this up, he asked me to, you know, manipulate the film pack in a way that like something comes out where it says, will you marry me or something. And I was just like, yeah, I think it can work. But also like I tried it in the office again and again and it worked like, you know, 4 out of 5 times. And I'm like, if I mess this up and it doesn't work and then like it's all for nothing. I was so nervous.
So he ended up improvising where he just he like had the ring behind my head and so when it developed, I'm like, what's in your hand? And then I turned around, he was on one knee and I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
Genius.
Yeah. So yes, thank you for all the things that you've done for Analog Talk and me.
You're welcome. Always happy to help.
Dude, that just thinking of Lumography though, like I remember I didn't go to school for photography and stuff like that, but I was working kind of as an assistant and doing a lot of like B-roll camera stuff with my uncle. He does a lot of stuff for like the Nashville Ballet. He shoots country music videos and stuff like that. I was always like camera B, and I was really getting into photography like really, really getting obsessed. I mean, you know how it is. Like, you just, it's like an endless mountain that you're climbing of knowledge and all that stuff. And I just started to get, like you were saying about Photoshop and all that stuff. It was just like, this is too much and not fun. Like, I want to have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like Urban Outfitters or something like that always had Lomography stuff.
Yeah.
And if it wouldn't have been for Lomography, I don't honestly think I would have been where I'm sitting right now. And it's just like, what an awesome company. I just remember how fun everything was. Like, especially when, you know, it's almost like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But just to think of like the fisheye camera, shoot from the hip, like just have fun, experiment. I mean, that's what it's all about, at least to me. I'm a total hobbyist. Like, I do not claim to be a professional by any means, but it's just so much fun. And then there's Lomo 800, so I...
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I felt the same way. Even if you're not into the exact, like, the fisheye or that particular, or those moods or aesthetics that, you know, Lomography presented in the early 90s, it's still just like engaging with this community and like finding out or like engaging with the products and everything. It's just so encouraging to really, you know, open your mind and try things. And also, yeah, to like not look for perfection. And that's really for me what did it. And that even I feel like I carry this Lomography mindset in me even when I'm shooting with completely other cameras and stuff.
Yeah,
I just like, I'm not worried if a shot doesn't work out. Like, even when I shoot FP100, I'm like, yeah, so I'm going to try this. So who cares? And I might lose a little bit more money, but still it's like, it's about, I'm getting excited about trying these things and not about figuring out before and like, you know, setting up the perfect shot.
Dude, I like that Lomography mindset.
Yeah. Dude, it's just so good. And I always look forward to your emails of new secret stuff that's coming out. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
Always my fave.
So I think I asked this the last time around, but has Lomography ever, were they worried in the late 90s, early 2000s that they'd had to shift to digital, or were they always kept the analog mindset?
Yeah, no, there was never the discussion of shifting to digital, for sure. That just was so far from what they, you know, like doing or what they were excited about. I mean, sure, you know, the markets have changed and there were times when it looked like, okay, maybe we cannot survive this. Who knows?
Right.
Like, it looks like, you know, it's going up and down. And there were some times they were harder, for sure. But now looking back, I think we all feel like maybe this whole digital like wave really helped film photography to stay or get even more creative and to go into the direction that Lomography has been doing from the start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like photographers who are looking for the perfect, super high quality image of reality the way it is. And, you know, they are not going to go back to film. They have their tools and the digital photography that they can use and create that if that's what you're looking for. But for people who are interested more about the medium or more about the creative aspects, they, you know, try use film. They know that you can do something with the film that is an emulsion that reacts to the outer world and everything. And then you get even more maybe curious about, you know, creative film stocks and different lenses and cameras that are not that, they're not trying to create this perfect image. So I think in the end, it helped Lomography in particular to, in that niche that it already was before.
I love that.
Yeah. That's so true. Like, people that are down for the pixel peeping and all that stuff are definitely not going to be going back to shooting like Kodak and stuff. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah. And even maybe, honestly, Instagram, like with all their filters when that came out, that honestly like could have helped for, you know, people to get interested in those types of film stocks too.
I feel like it boomed hardcore too, like in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen that being
on
that end of things.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are like tracking all that.
Yeah, it's definitely increasing again. And even we're just right now this week we're having a virtual trade show with some customers, and like some I talked to some camera stores, you know, all over the country, and a lot of them have only started carrying film again now, or the past year or two, or 1 or 2 years. And they're like, you know, like sometimes like older guys who are really excited mm-hmm. about all the digital gear, and now they're like, and now you're telling me I have to sell film again.
Yeah. It's just so funny because it reminds me of this photographer I assisted for who was like, you know, he had a great career, but he was like, why film? And I was like, just go shoot a roll and just remember why film. And then you'll figure it out, you know. But he was, you know, once they're work? Like, it's. No, he's like, it's cheaper. It's cheaper. My workflow is faster. I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. But. I mean, it's fair. You know, I understand for a lot of people, if you have different goals, I understand why digital is, you know, for some people better. But yeah, I don't.
Not us either.
I'll never forget when I was little. I went with my dad to, I think it was the Vet Stadium in Philly, where the Phillies play, mm-hmm. or the Eagles. It was an Eagles game and football game. And I'll never forget, this was like early 90s, like 92 or 93 or something. And I'll never forget the photographers, the sports photographers, because they would just blow through film. Yeah. Like they were just, because we were right on the sideline. We had some special something that we got down there, and I was a little kid, and I remember looking up at these people and they're just like flying through canisters of film. Like, you definitely, like, those people are never going back to film.
Even
the way we shoot Polaroids now, you know, because mm-hmm. we talk about it all the time on the show, of like FP100C, that was just to like test exposure and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And now it's like this coveted, like, beautiful thing, you know. It's just, it's so crazy how this whole thing is.
My coworker likes to, you know, compare it to painting when photography first started, like even came up. And, you know, like before that, like painters would get hired to paint reality mm-hmm. as, you know, as close to reality as possible.
Yeah.
And that was their job. And then photography started and people were like, okay, I guess like all the painters will be out of jobs. And
right.
In a way, in that professional sense, they were. But then because they all of a sudden had all this freedom, they discovered, you know, like all these different mm-hmm. art movements and started expressionism and cubism and all these forms. And we do think that, I mean, I would hope that that is down the line for photography where it's going. And it kind of is already a little bit.
Yeah,
I feel like it's heading that way, definitely.
Yeah.
I remember reading about the whole art and photography argument when photography first came on the scene. Like, artists were like, it's not art. It's just a replica of reality. So it doesn't count.
Right.
But no, you know, I mean, that's obviously, we all don't feel that way. But I was like, oh, that's interesting that, like, that was their argument. Like, no, you're just making a copy.
It is kind of weird, though, because, like, think about it. If you take, like, a picture of some, like, street art or something, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird. Like, I don't, it's like a copy, but you can use it to, I mean, it's just so weird. It's weird. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I know there's so many layers to all of these things. It's the same thing with, you know, you can have a print, you can take your favorite photograph from your favorite photographer and print it out yourself, and you kind of have it, but it's, you know, it's not the same thing getting a darkroom print from this person.
Definitely.
Like, a copy is not always just a copy.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, too. I would definitely want the artist to, you know, I printed this myself. My fiance, he collects art, and there's like a difference between like a limited edition print versus an actual painting and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, I never really thought about it, because when you look at it, it's art, you know,
right?
But it makes it more valuable, all that stuff.
Yeah,
very interesting.
I would love to own some like awesome old photos. I saw what his name is, he works for like Sub Pop Records back in the day when like Nirvana was at the height of their time, and I would love to have some of those. I'm not like a crazy Nirvana person, but there's some really cool pictures that he has of like Kurt Cobain like flying through the air and stuff like that. And it's like, I would love to have an actual wet print of that. Photographers are always supporting photographers. Like, I can't tell you how many zines I bought, how many prints I bought, how many of this and that. And it's like, one of these days I need to do something with it all, because I just have this big, huge like art thing where you put prints and stuff and it's all just other people's work. And I need to figure out something to do with that. Put on a little gallery show somewhere of other people's work.
That's interesting. You're already talking about doing something with your friend's art, when like most of us are like, what am I doing even with my own?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's that too. I feel
I can't wait for this COVID stuff to be over, man. I have so many ideas of things I want to do like that. And we still need to come to New York and hang out with Lamography.
That was like a week before we were about to get on a plane. And
Yeah. I'm still hoping that this gallery show can happen at some point. We, you know, received all the submissions. We were ready to curate and set up, and then COVID happened, and then. So yeah, I still want to, like, once we're safe, I want to give all those artists a chance to show their work still, even if it's, I don't know, 2 years later.
Yeah, hopefully not. I feel like we're headed in the right direction. So
yeah.
So have you been outside of Lamography? Do you have any interesting projects you're personally working on? Speaking of our own art, I'm loving the Polaroid emulsion lifts you've been doing. By the way, they're gorgeous. Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a pandemic result. I started doing that about a year ago to this day. I tried it before, but then, you know, I feel like in the beginning of quarantine in particular, I felt like, you know, I need to use this time as best as possible. And I need to, like, do things that I normally wouldn't do and take the time to try things. And so I started lifting some emulsions, and I really like it. But it's hard too, because, you know, when you have a great Polaroid, you're like, I don't really want to cut this up.
Yeah.
And, like, I could fail with the emulsion lift. So then I only do it with photos that I'm like, yeah, that's okay, but it's not my favorite. So I'm still, like, trying it to, like, get to a point where I'm willing to cut up my best ones.
That's
been
so scary. It's giving me like goosebumps thinking about it.
I did one for my YouTube channel. I remember being like so stressed, mostly because I was filming myself, so I'm like, if I mess this up. But it's like, really, you have to have a lot of patience to just like, you can't rush that process.
Right.
But
which is why it's great if you're in lockdown. But yeah, I want to like try more with that. I know, you know, I've talked with Devin, who you've had on, former coworker at Lamography. He's done a ton.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And then he has, you know, tried to or successfully done emulsion lifts on like a flower, I think, and stuff like that, like really cool things. But I feel like I still need to like work on like getting the feel for it. But yeah, there's so much more that I could try with that. And I do want to experiment more with this. Other than that, I mean, these are all just mostly what's on my Instagram is really just like, it's not like a concept that I come up with and then I go out and shoot that and I'm like, oh, I'm working on this project. It's like, I just shoot all the time, and the things I like, I post or share.
Right.
There was one kind of recent, I guess, project or series that I was just shared by the Float magazine this week. And that happened also, it wasn't, again, this wasn't a concept that I had in mind and wanted to do. It just happened. But I happened to, right when the museums opened back up in September, I went to the Met, got one of those like time spots and went to the Met. And by the way, was like, took the last time slot and was in there. It felt like by myself. It was so crazy. That was a really cool experience. In and of itself. But then when I left and walked down like on the Upper East Side somewhere, it was such a strange feeling, because I think I hadn't really been to that area since the pandemic. And I was walking down like Madison Ave or something, and it just felt so strange still, where, you know, in the beginning of lockdown, like all of New York was empty and weird. But that only lasted, you know, a certain amount of time. And at that point in September, Brooklyn was back. Like,
yeah,
you know, like in Brooklyn, there's so many like small stores and small businesses that are we're back again, and like people are out and about and doing stuff. So it didn't feel necessarily weird. But then in that area where, you know, it's all like really high end shops and stores, and also a lot of those residents had fled and just weren't back yet.
Wow.
It felt still very like a ghost town. And I noticed that so many stores had closed at that time and were empty. And so I started taking photos of all the empty storefronts. And then I think when I got that first roll back from that stroll, I looked at those and kind of felt like all of a sudden, like, oh, wow, this to me really represents, or like some of those, of course, never all of my photos, but like some of those photos somehow really captured that melancholic, like sad feeling that I had, because of, you know, it was empty, but also you can see the reflections of people with masks or just the empty streets, and also like how the light sometimes, like, you know, interacts with glass and stuff. It just like created this mood that I so genuinely felt when I was taking that walk, that I was even like surprised myself. And then so I continued shooting this series and just of the empty storefronts, but trying to somehow, you know, shoot them in a somehow creative way with reflections and signs and stuff. And so yeah, I guess that was the last project that I did for myself that I now have on my website and like submitted to a few publications, and had Float magazine share it, which was really nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So yeah, but other than that, I normally just, you know, I shoot whatever I'm in the mood for, and whether that's street or portraits or whatever.
Do you still do a lot of writing? Do you write anymore?
Yes, not as much as I used to. I want to write more again, but I do still from time to time. It's funny because when I think the more I took photos consciously as a, you know, really like as a creative process, the less I felt the need to write.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I would still like, I'm still waiting for this spark of inspiration of how I can combine my writing with my photos. But it's so hard because I feel like they feel so different to me. They're so different, such different like approaches. But maybe one day I'll do something with that.
I'm always jealous of writers. It's like one of those things I've always wished I had. I'm just so basic when it comes to stuff like that. You know, I'm, you know, roses are red, violets are blue. That's my like.
Well, they are.
Yeah,
but it's also, I mean, do you speak a second language?
No.
Yeah, because I do prefer writing in English, even though I'm not as good in it, you know, as I am in German. But I feel more inspired to write in English. And I always wonder why that is. But I think it's maybe just because it is not my mother tongue. So that could help.
I often think that when you come to say something, like when you're talking now, are you talking in both languages in your head? Or are you talking now? Okay. Yeah, I just never knew how that worked. That might be a very stupid question. But
here's another question about that. Which language do you dream in? Do you dream in English or do you dream in German?
So I think it can switch, and I think it's both. But at the same time, as a lot of people ask me that, and I want to say it's English because I think like when I wake up, that's the first language that I have in my head when I'm here. Mm-hmm. But you know, in dreams, it's hard because I feel like sometimes there isn't really a language. It's like you understood what's happening, but you couldn't tell. Yeah. Like I could say in my dream, someone told me this, but I don't hear them say it anymore, so I don't know what language it was. I just understood it. But yeah, I think it's a mix of both, probably.
That's so cool. I'm so into that. Like, and I have an aunt that is, she was born and raised in Germany, and I will never forget when she married my uncle. I think they were like given land over there from her family. It was like, they were just like, take this family run. It was like a farm or something. I forget what it was. I was little when this happened. And I just remember my Uncle Bob being like, I'm not moving out of here. Like, she's got to move here. And I'm like, damn, could you imagine living somewhere other than here? Would be amazing. Even if it was just for like a year or something, right, you know, try it out. I just I love traveling. That's definitely something that's got to be done in my future.
Have you been outside of the country?
I mean, I've gone to Canada, but oh, yeah. that's really not. It's just nicer Americans. Like that's okay. I've always wanted to go overseas, though. It was always a dream.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
visit Vienna and the birthplace of Lomography and
right. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's yeah. crazy. You were home recently, right? Didn't you just go home not too long
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I went home for over the holidays. I decided to take the risk and do the traveling, but I think it was
it's
important.
Worth it.
Yeah. Do you miss it? Do you think you'll ever end up there, or do you think this is where?
I don't think I don't miss it really. Mm. You know, it's if anything, if I ever move back to Austria, then it's for people in my family if they need, you know, support or help or something.
Right.
Not for me, I wouldn't move back, but I also, you know, never say never. If I ever get bored of New York, I also have the feeling that, or I always say that if it's not New York, it's not America where
I want to live.
Like, and then I would maybe like try to, you know, Europe is also, I kind of want to take advantage of the fact that I could live in all those countries easily. So
yeah.
If New York ever kicks me out, I'm gonna maybe try Paris or Spain or something. Yeah,
I feel that way about LA. I'm like, it's not LA, not where.
Yeah,
you know,
it's back to Connecticut.
Back to Connecticut. At least I'm only a 2-hour train ride from New York, because
that's how I feel too, like being back in Pennsylvania, because we used to go to New York City all the time when I lived here. Like, it was, you hop on the train, you go to Penn Station, you're in New York City, you know what I mean? Like, it's
Penn Station is not equal New York City.
Well, from a kid that lives in central Pennsylvania, it was New York City for us, you know. You know, I've actually never been to like the heart of New York. I've been to New York City like a bunch of times, used to play there when I was in bands and stuff like that, and it's again just another travel destination. I was looking so forward to our little hangout.
I mean, all the more reason.
Yeah. We got to do something when this shit stops, man. I'm ready. I'm getting mad right now.
Yeah.
I
mean, how has New York been since everything? Is it kind of coming back to life now, or?
I mean, I don't know. I always feel like New York finds a way for me. It finds a way to, you know, somehow still be New York. And I think even last summer, you know, I feel like I had a nice summer. I was spending, you know, my time in the parks and, or Coney Island or stuff more than I normally would. There's things that you can do here. It still doesn't feel like the normal New York, of course. Because I mean, even when, you know, indoor dining is now open to a certain extent, I'm not going yet.
Same.
And I'm just like, it's not the same. Like, I want to go when we can go to a restaurant and then go to a club and you know, the whole thing,
hug
and
each other and
dive bar.
Yeah.
Until, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Man. It's not the same yet.
Yeah, I was just curious because all you see on like YouTube and the news and all that stuff is just people leaving New York, and it just breaks my heart because I just would hate to have that city not be what it, you know, what you think what you think it is.
I think I'm very optimistic that it will bounce back and maybe change a little bit from this, but I think it's gonna be this amazing city that it used to be. And I'm kind of mad at all those people giving up on New York, because I'm like,
same.
You're gonna miss that once this is safe again. But
a lot of people were leaving Los Angeles too, but I just, like, you know, for me it was like it was hard to get here. Like, it took me a long time to like get the courage, not book any more weddings, and, you know, like really be like, nope, I'm moving. So to hear people are just like, well, let's go home, I'm like, well, you're gonna come back? Like, that's like, I don't know. It's like, can't give up.
No.
But I think after, I was talking about this the other day, like, once COVID is over, I mean, at least me, I'm gonna have such an appreciation for everything. You know,
right.
Every friend I can hug, every glass I can clink together, like,
it's
just gonna be like,
I know. Yeah, I was saying the same thing. I'm gonna, all my friends, if you ever invite me to anything, I will never say no.
Yes.
Never again. Yeah. Man.
Well, can I ask you one more Lomography related thing?
Yes.
I know you guys always seem like you're coming out with some wonderful thing. Can you give us any insight onto upcoming things that are in the works, or
give us the dirt?
The community obviously is grateful for that.
Yeah.
What's coming our way? No, just kidding.
What I can say, I'm still very excited about the Lomograph Lock, which you have tried both.
Yes.
I'm just mentioning it because, you know, we still haven't shipped out the pre-orders. So that's still to come. So I'm just emphasizing that this is an exciting product.
Plug everything.
I'm going to cry.
Plug all the things.
I can't wait.
That we are still looking forward. And that's also, I'm still so excited because it's such a, you know, different, I think it was a surprise to everyone because it's such a different product and we haven't done anything like this.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. That's still to come this year. And I can't wait to ship those out and see, like, you know, just what people do with it. That's always the most exciting part of this. In terms of completely new products, I think I don't want to spoil the surprise.
That's perfect. We'll be happy.
But we are working on things. And one thing in particular I'm very excited about, and I think the community will be too. And at this point, just trust me that it's going to be cool.
I wanted to tell you, because of the Lumographic, I made the leap into 4x5. I got my Intrepid because that whole thing was like such a game changer, and I was realizing, I was like, man, I should be shooting large format, you know, so that was like getting my feet wet with large format, so thank you for that.
That's great. I hope you're not the last person to do this, but that's perfect.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'm just such an instant head. I love anything that comes out, you know, of a camera that's like me, and then you have an image 5 seconds later. It's just amazing. And I mean, thanks again for keeping us in mind for that, because that just lit a spark. When that thing showed up in the mail, I was just like, the ideas were just exploding of things I wanted to do. And it was like, no, I don't want to send it away. But yeah, it's funny because my camera still has, I was doing some different weird tests with it, and I had some tape put on my screen, and I just left the tape there as a constant reminder of it's coming. It's coming.
Amazing. Yeah, I was happy that you guys could try it early on. It was really cool.
Dude, just seeing what everybody's doing with it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
We'll be right back with a couple listener questions for Birgit right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Just wanted to pop in quick and let you guys know about our developing nights. So it's a Patreon-only tier. You can develop some film with us. It's going to be the third Sunday of the month. It's such a good time. We've done a bunch already. It's just a blast to hang out, develop some film, talk shop, have fun. And it is the best way to help support the show. Patreon.com/analogtalk. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. We're actually taking two questions this week. And the first question comes from Toady Photo, and they'd like to know, if Lomography came out with a new camera, what kind of camera would you prefer to see? That's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. That's also really hard because... interesting, because I never really thought of that. if I could really just, shoot. I mean, I guess I'd have two ideas. I'm not saying that any of those are even an option, but I think it would be cool to work on a 4x5 camera since we have the back now.
Mm.
I think that would be cool. You know, you could maybe couple it with some of our, I don't know, with our Petzl lens or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. And the other thing is, I think I'm still looking for some company to make a good point and shoot that, you know, doesn't go for $1,000 on eBay.
Amen.
Right. And again, I don't even know if that's possible. Maybe there's a reason no one's doing that. Probably. But that's what I would, if I could choose. what I would do.
Those are both really good answers, though. Yeah, I can back both of those.
Okay, so the second question comes from Garkhan John. He says, how does she approach photographing a city which is already so well documented?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the secret is not thinking about that. I know that probably every photo that I take of New York, you know, someone has taken. I'm fully aware of that. But if you're not looking for, you know, to do, reinvent the wheel, like you can't do that. You just have to, you know, go by your feeling and your guts. And if you see something that you're like, oh, this is cool, I'll take the photo. And it even happened not too long ago that I was taking photos in Brooklyn, in Bushwick, actually. And then I think like just took one also with my phone and posted a story. And a friend of mine sent me the exact same photo.
Oh, wow.
And was wait, were you over there today? And I was like, yes. And we then compared the negatives, like when we got the film back, and we took like a bunch of the same photos.
Wow.
It's not gonna, you're not gonna find, you know, the new things. You just, it's your perspective still, and it's your, and I am a foreigner, so I think that some things maybe I do see differently than people who have lived here for, you know, 10 plus years. But I'm not saying I'm not gonna make it my mission to take photos of New York in a new way.
Right.
I just go with whatever I see and what strikes me as interesting. And
I love that.
I feel like the exact same when it comes to shooting photos. Like I never really go out. I shouldn't say I never, because I've gone out with like an idea in mind, or like I have put projects together, but mostly I spend so much time just shooting to shoot, to like enjoy shooting photos. I mean, and I just, I love that. I don't want to say cringe isn't the right word, but it just kind of like puts a heavy weight on you when you're like, I've got this project that I'm working on and I gotta do, you know, it's a lot when I use photography for mental health. It's my like Zoloft, you know what I mean? Like
100%. I say the same thing. Yeah. It's like when I feel like, you know, I feel too much or I don't know what to do, I just go on a walk and with my camera and I think it's also part of, you just focus on everything around you instead of yourself. And you can just like, bring your focus to your surrounding, the people around you, the city and everything. And somehow you do process your inner self by like putting it on the city. What also came to mind with this question is that in a lot of ways, I feel like those photos that I do like a lot of New York are photos that are in some way, you know, capturing this like typical New York feeling. Mm-hmm. And that feeling I only have because I've seen all those photos of New York, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
In a way, it's when you find a scene in the street that is so typical, like a New York thing, then yours will be the 1,000 or I don't know how many, version of this photo, but that's why it feels so much like New York when you take it or when you look at it. So there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
I love photos of New York. One of my favorite like t-shirts growing up was a photo of New York. It was just like the skyline with the bridge, and I couldn't tell you what bridge or what buildings were, but I just always loved that shirt.
Yeah, I had a huge poster of the New York skyline in my my room with my parents until I was 14 or so, and then
that's
it started.
Wild.
Yeah,
you're meant to be there. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we have to re-ask you the desert. Did we even do the desert island camera question?
I'm sure
we did. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's a two-parter. It's the old desert island. You can only choose one. What and why?
I think we did it, and I thought about that today because I think my answers have changed. And they could change again tomorrow, to be honest.
For real.
But for the desert island camera, I think I would take the RB with me. It's just I wish I could take it everywhere and it wasn't that heavy.
Right.
But if I'm just like, you know, stuck in an island, I can just like set it up there and have it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just my favorite camera to like set up the photo. I love the sound of it. I love mm-hmm. that it's all mechanic, and I love the results. And yeah, I think that's the one that I'll keep for sure.
Dude, great answer.
That's a good answer.
And you have that Polaroid back too.
So that's, I do. Yeah.
That's I'm so jealous. You don't even want to know how jealous I am.
I don't know if that's gonna survive like for the rest of my life. It's like a kind of a janky.
Oh yeah.
you know thing, but yes, I'm very excited about that too.
Do you have the Contax G1 or the G2?
G1.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. It's a great camera.
It is. I am thinking about maybe selling it. At some point.
Oh. Chris needs a backup.
Yeah, if you need a second one, then you...
Okay, second part.
Well, yeah, part two is the old white whale. Is there anything mm-hmm. That you've wanted to, you know, shoot that you haven't had a chance to get your hands on?
Yes. I think the last time you asked me this, I was probably saying the M6.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. But since that conversation, you know, I've fallen so deeply in love with my RB that now I'm actually, I would really just have been dying to try Hasselblad to see.
Yes. Chrissy. That's literally what I've been like. That's my white whale right now. And I've like just got the stimulus check and I'm like, wow, it's like exactly the right cost. The right price.
And I don't even know, I can't even tell you exactly why. Mm-hmm. And some of my friends are like, no, that's stupid. The ERB is, you know, it's great. And like, why would you spend it? I'm like, but look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
And maybe I don't even enjoy shooting it that much. I just haven't had the chance to really test it out. So I'm dying to.
That's a good answer. That's great.
Yeah, that's definitely on like my top tier.
Yeah, you've never really had that, huh? Or like,
no, that's one that got away. I had the chance to get a really nice kit back when it was one of the 500s. I don't know what it was. Yeah. And I just remember it was black and it came with three lenses and it was like $1,600. Like that's out of this world these days because just the body and one lens is that much these days. Yeah. I love square. I'm a big fan of shooting 6x6 too. That's probably my favorite besides the RB67 as well.
Right. <It's, laughs>
I'm getting buried with mine when I die. So it's, man. Awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Birgit, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. I also wanted to just say that I really look up to you. You're kind of an inspiration to just being a badass woman in the film community.
Hell yeah.
You know, a boss at Lomography. So I just wanted to tell you that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where can everybody check you out and also Lomography?
Well, thank you, Chris. This means a lot from you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am on Instagram, Birgit_B_art. And Lomography is Lomography or Lomography USA on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the whole thing. And
awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can find me on Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I'll throw my Twitter in there. It's the same thing, Timothy Makeups. I know. I need to play on Twitter, too. I also make YouTube videos. Easiest way to find those, go to the search bar, just type in Timothy Makeups. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
I'm Crispy Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page and a group you can join and hang out in. Birgit, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Thank you. This was so much fun. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
All right. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Birgit for coming on the show. We're like huge Birgit fans. Chris and I talk about it all the time. We just love everything she does for the community. And I mean, Lomography is just the coolest. And it was just such a blast having you back on the show. It was just great getting to hear your story and all that stuff. Again, Birgit, we love what you do. Keep doing it. You're an amazing human. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for even $1. $1, you can get the show 2 days early. So that's on a Monday on our Patreons. It's up first thing in the morning. We also have a bunch of other stuff over there. Chris and I are going to be doing solo shows. That's kind of fun. So her by herself, me by myself, just kind of like little analog talk 10-minute 15-minute fun little shows for you guys. Probably going to be hopping in there together to just Patreon-only stuff, just Chris and I. We have a bunch of other stuff over there. We're going to be doing kind of Patreon-only exclusive stuff, you know, where our guest gives us a tour of their studio or darkroom or shows us some of their work. Just some fun stuff. And just, if you're a fan of the show, Patreon is literally the best way to help support the show. So again, it's patreon.com/analogtalk. Thank you for all the patrons that help support the show. Guys, you don't know how much that means to us. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this week. So until next week, we'll see you soon. Keep shooting. Keep doing all that fun stuff. Stay creative. Yeah, that's going to be it, guys. Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.